This episode of Country Squire Radio is brought to you by Missouri Meerschaum. We thank them for supporting this show, and we thank you for supporting them.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD!
Hey, Bo. Good afternoon, man.
Man, good afternoon to you too, sir. How you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good, man. It is truly insane. Things are just rocking and rolling, man. We're getting into the pipe time of year, man. It's always that kind of early to middle fall and then early spring, it seems like, where people just come out in droves. And this is the time of year where I get, those people that we haven't seen since late fall, you know, they start to trickle back in, right? And so, man, we're getting them. And it's been a lot of fun.
That's good, man. Yeah, you know, it is. It's always interesting to me because, you know, for me, pipe season, the colder it is, the more it becomes pipe season. But like spring is starting to sprung, if that's even the way to say it correctly.
I love how we need to make our own Country Squire Radio dictionary. One of the most gnarled up things ever. We really should. The lexicon, you know,
I'm sure Mark VV actually probably already has that. I would not be surprised if there's
really
not
might.
A library. And that also contains like a, you know, like a in the background in the notes, like all the different memes, you know, like see image on page 235 for, you know, John David Cole as Kim Kardashian.
So out of control. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's hope that never comes to pass. But man, I'll tell you something that I do hope comes to pass. And that is that all of you listening to the show right now enjoy listening to the show so much so that you want to help make it happen. Head over to patreon.com/countrysquireradio to become a patron. Help support the creation of this show. It could not happen without you.
Plus, that is true.
We got some bonus stuff available for you, like how about the entire first 100 episodes of Country Squire Radio, now fully available as soon as you become a patron. Check that out, patreon.com/countrysquireradio. I always want to like end that by saying like check your local listings or something like that. But that is that is a phrase from a past generation right there.
It is, man. Local listing. Like, there's whole sections of our population that don't even know what that means.
I know, right? I mean, like, this is the... It's a different age, but that's all right, man. It's also a different age for Country Squire Radio as we've been kind of going through an adjustment period. You know, I'm here, man. It's quite a unique experience to go through a seismic move of, you know, saying goodbye to one house, saying hello to a new house.
Gosh, no kidding.
It's over. And so, everything is still kind of in that transitional period. But next episode, I believe the studio should be, you know, set up. But as of right now, I am recording, and I'm not afraid to say this, I'm recording in my children's bedroom. And I am surrounded right now by images of fairies, dancing flowers. There is at
Isn't
least
precious?
Three unicorns in my immediate surroundings. And so... yeah, so this is where I'm at. And by the way, there is some kind of construction that's going on in relation to the roof at the moment. So if you hear something like that happen, that's what's going on. Just want to mention that up front. But thank y'all so much. I mean, like, man, I really, we need to like show so much love to all the listeners who have been just riding with us and supporting us throughout these last several weeks and months and year.
Yeah, I agree.
It's incredible. I mean, it really is incredible because it's been a journey and continues to be, and we would not be here without you. So thank you all very much.
It's so true. Listening. Yeah. Just to chime in real quickly. I know we've got, you know, a great topic today, but man, it has been a year of sincere change, you know, and lots of movement on many fronts. Man, y'all have just been with us every step of the way. We've gotten so many supportive letters and, you know, messages and even gifts and stuff, visits. I mean, I've got folks, they'll come up to me and, that I've never even met before. And man, just let me know that they're thinking about me through this, incredible, tumultuous time, all the good and the challenging, you know, and everything. And so, man, you know, we're thankful. We are really thankful for you guys. Really are.
I know I mentioned a couple of weeks back about how Robert recognized my voice when I was at the Lakeland Yard and Garden Store, and then further back when I was in DC and got recognized, you know, like are y'all talking about Country Squire Radio? Like the amazing reach of this show is incredible because at least it highlights for us individually just the fact there's so much interest in pipes and that there is this pipe community out there. And what a great time to kind of see that. And so to kind of, you know, as we go through this, as y'all been supportive to us, we like showing y'all as much love as possible and big upping y'all because, you know, honestly, that's the pipe community, and that's the pipe community on display. So yeah. Y'all are incredible. Man, speaking of pipe community, we've got an episode this week that it's on that personal level.
I think it's going to be fun.
So we did, I mean, this dates back to the earliest days of Country Squire Radio. You will not find, I don't believe you will find an episode like this in our current public archive in the last, you know, 300 or however many episodes. But within the first 100 episodes, we did a series called Collection of Memories. And this is where each episode, John David or I would take a few pipes and we would kind of go through our collection. We'd tell you a little bit about the pipe and then also the story that surrounds it. Because I know for many of us, the pipes that we own, they're not just, oh, that looks cool, I want it. Although there's definitely a few of them in there. But for the most part, there's a story around it. There's a reason why we selected that pipe. It may be a style that spoke to us. It may be the person that gave it to us. It may be the reasoning, the trip that we wanted to go on that this pipe was going to represent. Or it may have been like, this gives me a sense of comfort in a rough patch of time. But regardless, it is impossible to own a pipe without having some kind of story attached. And it's also kind of a nice way to showcase a little bit of who we are behind the scenes, what kind of makes us tick. And was good in those early days. But, you know, as I say, man, every single episode is somebody's first episode. So this is kind of a chance to get to know John David Cole as we go back into a collection of his memories.
Wow. Yeah. Gosh, that's a little intimidating, you know, that each pipe does have a story and, you know, pulling the curtain back, you know, behind, you know, just to see kind of where some of those sentimental values come from, or gosh, this is a pipe that just smokes great, but, you know, someone important gave it to me or something like that. We love unpacking this kind of stuff. And and it gives you an idea of kind of where we're coming from a little bit too. So, you want me to start, Bo?
Man, what you got?
We have today a couple of beautiful pipes, but the one I'm holding right now, if you can imagine in your mind, a gnarly prince-shaped pipe. It's an older pipe, and it has an ebonite stem that is rather chewed on and well-loved. And this is a Savinelli Punto Oro, one of the rusticated Punto Oros. This pipe is really special to me, so it has become my flake pipe, and really, if this could say anything about what I smoke, it would tell you I smoke a lot of Christmas cheer from McClelland, and I'm still going through my, you know, hoard of it that I've got put back. This is also the pipe I tend to smoke inside my house as well. My wife is incredibly gracious, and you know, a lot of times those flake tobaccos, you know, those are reserved for those times when I just have a really the quiet evening where I've got some time to just ponder or particularly read. I love reading with this pipe, you know, maybe having my favorite tea or beverage. A lot of times it's a nice whiskey or Boodles and Tonic or something like that. Yeah, I love this pipe. It's very dear to me. This pipe was a gift from a friend of ours, the anti-hurricane.
Oh, yes, sir.
Yeah, a very important person in our Country Squire family. And Steven,
he needs a name. I mean, I know he's like the anti-hurricane, but like we almost need to like, he needs something.
He's
Thor. You know, like Thor controls the storm, you know, like he counters the storm.
That's a great point. Maybe we should call him Thor. Yeah.
I like it.
Although, you know, he's one of the most sarcastic people I've ever met. So he, you know, is probably going to come up with, I don't know, maybe his own rebuttal to that just put us in our place. You know, Steven's really good at that. But yeah, my dear friend Steven, who was in our wedding and man, is just a dear friend. But he gifted me this pipe. This was really fun. A few years ago, the shop was we were in a tight patch. It was one of those points where things were pretty tight. This is before I'd bought the Country Squire, and you know, we were just trying to make it work. You know, it had gotten to the point where before our shop was really you know, had the resources it needed. The cigar reps would come through and give me samples, and I would, you know, graciously say thank you and all that, and then I would patiently wait until the cigar rep left, and then I would go around the shop and gather up all the samples that they laid around, and then and then put them in a sampler bag and sell them, you know, rather than actually give them the person. Right. I mean, it was pretty rough, right? And so, I mean, we had this beautiful batch of estate pipes walk in one time during that season, and it was really beautiful. You know, anytime these things come in, it is still to this day, it's like Christmas, right? You get these stunning pipes. Some of them are gorgeous, like this particular pipe I'm holding now. Some of them are, you know, old beat up, you know, Dr. Graybos and you know, K Woodies and fake Meerschaums and everything else. But this particular pipe was a part of that batch. There were some Dunhills in that batch, and also I think a Camoy or two and a couple of Savinellis. This Savinelli is really beautiful. I was not a real fan of the Prince shape until this particular pipe kind of started to claw on me a little bit. So if you know anything about the Savinelli Prince, it's the 313, and it's a very gentle bend in this Prince. It's just got a very elegant shape. The modern ones are a little thicker. They're a little chunkier because the stems are made of acrylic, but the older ones have still a lot of the old ebonite stems, very thinly, tapered there right at the button. It comes to a very nice thin point there, and this is the Punta Oro, which is one of their higher grade lines. This is a machine made pipe, but it's one of their highest grade ones, and it's just really stunning. The gnarly rusticated Punta Oro pipes are really they're gnarly. They kind of have that pine cone look to them. It's almost a chunky like root. The root is really showing through on this thing. It's kind of hard to explain, but Punta Oro, how they rusticate the rusticated, not the smooth version, but the rusticated version, really attractive. And you can tell they put a lot of extra work into this thing. It's also a natural finish, and so it's got some staining from my own hand on there. And it's picked up a nice patina just over the years as I've smoked it since I owned it. So the story is, we had all these estate pipes walk in, and they were beautiful, and they were lightly used and everything, and this pipe just kept calling to me. The gentle curvature of this pipe and how it fit in my particular hand, I could just imagine how it would smoke a nice kind of chunky flake cut tobacco, and it's long enough to kind of go along with my Bing's favorite there, just enough length to kind of cool the smoke down a little, maybe more than other pipes. And so, to be honest with you, I was really broke. I was broke, and the shop was broke, and man, it was just a really difficult time. So
if you're selling those cigar samples, I can imagine at this point, like you're pulling. Like just to drive this home even more, I'm guessing you were actually pulling what people pull on you all the time. Instead of them taking your tampers, you were waiting when the customer wasn't looking and stealing.
Yeah, probably so. Yeah, there's probably a couple of those times I cleaned one up and threw it back in the check tool basket. Hopefully I didn't do that, but yeah, it was to that point. Yeah, but no promises that I didn't. Right.
Right.
Yeah, I know my house had 15 roommates living here to pay the mortgage. It was tight. Let's just say it was tight, but right. Yeah. So anyway, we had all these pipes sitting around, and I was just really coveting a couple of them, and I told a couple friends that, man, I wish I could have that pipe, but I've got to sell it. We've got to put it out on the shelf. And so Stephen, he said, well, I want that one, and he pointed to this Prince that I'd kind of been eyeing. And he said, put that back for me. I'll buy it next week. And so he came back in. He made a really big deal about how much he wanted that pipe and how excited he was to have it, and that it was going to be one of his favorites and everything. And right as he was walking out the door, he said, all right, let's go settle up. So we went to the cash register, and he purchased the pipe, and he said a few more words. And then he reached forward and extended the pipe across the counter and laid it right in front of me. And then said Merry Christmas and turned around and walked out the door. And so it was really, really special. This was I think we wound up selling this pipe because it's in really good condition. I think we wound up selling it for, $125 or something like that. And Stephen bought it from me. So he paid the shop money for it. And then he turned around and gave it to me. So it was, he really wanted me to have it. And it was such an encouragement to me at the time. And so
that's classic Stephen. Especially pimping away like that. Hand over and walk out. That's amazing.
And just walk out. He was one of those, it was one of those moments where, he wanted me to know, nope, we're going to have fun with this. This is yours. I'm not leaving any time for you to argue. Goodbye. That was it.
Yeah.
And every time I smoke this pipe, I think about that moment. It's probably 4 years ago now. And it's just really special to me. And it's funny. I tell that to Stephen now, and it's almost encouraging to him, because it's just one of those things that I get to remind him that it's been a blessing. So a great pipe, a really good pipe. This was back before Savinelli was doing a lot of the balsa filter inserts, and man, it's just a precious pipe. Really, really love it.
That's a great story, man. And also just a great way to big up somebody too in the community.
Yeah, I know, right?
All right, so what you got next?
Yep, so next, oh man, this is great. So another friend, dear friend, actually, that was also at my wedding. It's kind of funny, I didn't plan it this way, but you know our friend the judge, right?
Oh yeah, man.
All right, so the judge, you know, he smokes a pipe occasionally, but he's not the biggest pipe guy. But we also know his dad, who is actually a judge.
Right,
and
right.
Who is also one of the biggest characters I've ever met in my life. He is the our local, in one of the counties here surrounding Jackson, where we live, he's the local chancery court judge, the local chancellor in one of our counties here. He's just larger than life. He's one of these people that's, you know, completely ridiculous and probably needs a book written about him. He's kind of like the hurricane, you know, maybe not quite as not quite as dangerous or you know, as upsetting, but he still has some of those qualities, you know.
Dangerous in his own way.
In his own way, you know? Yeah. He's always going to have the best story, and you know, he's got that twinkle in his eye that he's going to tell some off-color joke or something, but man, he's funny. So anyway, he was so excited right as I was buying the shop. He he's such a curious guy, man. He used to smoke a pipe a lot back in the day, and somewhere in the 90s, along with so many other people, kind of pivoted towards cigars, unfortunately. But he occasionally will smoke his pipe, but he's still very much, you know, more cigar guy nowadays. But back in the day, back in the 60s and 70s, when it was kind of a, you know, he was younger in his professional career, he was in England, actually, on a business trip, and he bought a Sheraton. It is a Sheraton London special, and it's a tiny pipe. This is not one of the higher grade Sheratons, but it's a beautiful little Sheraton. It is what we would consider in America from the Lane era, which is really neat. The Lane era Sheratons, of course, here are, you know, some of the more coveted Sheratons. What's interesting about this, though, is that even though it's from the Lane era, it does not have the little L stamp on the side that you would expect a Lane era Sheraton to have. The reason is because it was never imported into the United States. All the Lane Sheratons were given the little L stamp because they were imported by the Lane Company into the United States and then sold. And so, you know, that was kind of the moniker, the hallmark of that era. Well, this is from that era, but it never went through official exporting or whatever from Great Britain into the U.S. And so it's from that era, but, you know, just doesn't have that little stamp, which is kind of neat that it came from the homeland, you know. But
I mean, if it's not stamped, how do you know? Like,
well,
is it a fraud?
Yeah, the reason is because he bought it new in 1973. And so it was a new pipe in 1973, and that is in the middle of that era. Yeah, it's just, you know, it was a new pipe. Now, if it would have been a used pipe during that era, it could have been a Lane era, or it could have been a pipe from the 30s that continued on or whatever. But anyway, so that's kind of the idea there.
Gotcha. Okay.
But a small pipe, it's a small frame pipe. It's longer. It's probably got, if you're thinking, visualizing it in your mind, it's a straight pipe. Course, it's a five and a half inch pipe, very tiny bit. The of course, from Sheraton, we think of the double comfort stem that they had patented and was so popular for them. And so it has that in just a really nice small package. It's a straight billiard, a little bowl. I would compare the size to probably a little larger than the Peterson Belgique. So if you had if you have the Peterson Belgique in your mind, that small frame, little, you know, bowl, it's just maybe a little bit thicker than that, but not much. It's just got a really great frame to it. And so anyway, the judge,
the judge senior,
our dear friend who we nicknamed the judge, well, his dad, who's an actual judge, he gave this pipe to me. Well, kind of. So I you know, he showed me, hey, let me show you my old pipe collection. And so he gave this pipe to me, and he said, oh, you know, someday you'll just, after you buy the shop, when he gave this to me, I was in the middle of purchasing the shop. We were kind of, you know, going through paperwork and making sure all the accountants were, you know, had their ducks in a row and all that. So he gave this pipe to me, quote unquote, but then he said, you know, you can pay me back sometime. Give me some cigars. That joker held that over my head for the next year and a half. It was so funny because every time he turned around, he was like, "Yeah, you know, I gave John David that $100 pipe, and he hadn't given me any cigars left." And then, you know, the next time you talk to him, "Yeah, you know, I gave John David that $200 pipe, and you know, I'm expecting some Olivas. He told me he was going to get me some Olivas. And next time you see him, yeah, I gave John David that $550 pipe. And, you know, I it just the value of this pipe kept going right. up and up and up. It was so funny. Yeah,
he had like the college fund for his grandchildren paid off in the amount of cigars he's going to send you.
just ridiculous. You know, it was so funny. So eventually I got him paid off for this, what in his mind became probably a $700 pipe.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
You know, but it was really, really great. This pipe smokes good. It's a compact, handy little smooth billiard Sheraton. I love Sheraton. And if you did hear about one of those earlier episodes, if you're maybe a member of our Patreon club and have listened to one of our older episodes where we talk about our personal pipes, you probably heard me talk about my favorite pipe. And that favorite pipe, which nowadays is probably shared between my Bing's favorite, but my other favorite pipe that I don't smoke very often anymore because it's very precious to me, is my Lane Era Sheraton Executive Pipe. We talked about that back in the day. This is a gigantic bowl. I'm holding it now and kind of comparing it to the little one that that the judge gave to me. It's probably a 6-inch pipe. Gigantic bowl. It's got just a really nice hand-finished Dublin look to it. Smooth, incredible, exquisite straight grain on this pipe, and just the chunky double comfort bit stem that you would expect. And you can see, if you look really hard, you can even still see the serial number stamped on the side of the stem, which is just something that doesn't happen anymore. You don't see serial numbers put on stems anymore. It's kind of amazing. But this pipe, which is probably the most sentimental of all the pipes that I own. This was a pipe that belonged to Mr. Reeves. Mr. Reeves, of course, founded our shop back in 1970 with his wife, Gwen, who eventually hired me. And after Mrs. Reeves died, Kim, her daughter, gave me this pipe. She wanted me to have it. It was one of her dad's favorite pipes. And I smoke English blends out of it. I'm not the biggest fan of English blends. If you've listened a long time, you know that. That Latakia, it goes well in this pipe because that's what Mr. Reeves smoked in this pipe. And we date this pipe to probably the early 60s. It's got a lot of age on it, but it's in incredible shape. And it is also really precious to me. So just thought I'd mention that too. If you did listen to one of those episodes back in the archives where we talked about some of our other personal pipes, that one probably came up.
Oh, that's good, man. I mean, like, it really, there's that pipe in particular, you know, it's one you've referenced a couple times on the show, but I think it's important because it plays into the legacy of the shop. And then it also plays into your legacy as well. I mean, you know, one of the traditional tropes that we see in storytelling is the concept of the father's sword that's passed down from generation to generation.
Yeah, I guess that's right.
That, to some extent, that pipe is, you know, the quote unquote father's sword that's been passed down to you. And so, you know, I don't know. I love that. It fits so well. I mean, it is ingrained into the part, you know, into the lore of the shop and just your personal narrative, so to speak, with the shop as well, as the champion of the squire. And I think it fits pretty well.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. A lot of fun. So really cool pipes, and I'm thankful for them.
Yeah, man. Well, let me ask you this. Do you have any kind of specific Missouri Meerschaum pipes that kind of, raise to the top in your personal collection?
I do, actually. It's interesting. I have a Cobbett Shire pipe, which is one of my favorite churchwarden style pipes. Now, the Cobbett Shire, it's not a full-blown churchwarden. It's got kind of a truncated stem, but it's still a long pipe, probably 7 or 8 inches long. Really high-quality stems on those Cobbett series pipes. It's got a really, just a really soft ebonite bit on there that really makes it shine. Of course, a generous bowl on that. My other coveted pipe that is a Missouri Meerschaum is it's something that I love dearly, and it is my South Park pipe.
Oh my gosh, yes, yes.
Yep, it is fantastic. Our friend Liz White, who lives in Longview, Texas, she did one of our custom cob competitions 2 years ago, and then eventually painted the wedding pipes for my wedding, which was a year ago, and also had as a gift given me a pipe that has a figure of Eric Cartman from South Park on the pipe. And so, you know, it's got the cheesy poofs on the side and all that, but it's just a great pipe, and it's a Missouri Meerschaum legend. You know, the legends are great because they're very basic, but they provide a super nice canvas for your own custom cob. And so just lots of real estate there to do some good artwork. And, you know, the pipe can go along with any artwork in that case, because it's so, you know, just so classic. So
yeah, I love that, man. The comet in and of itself, I mean, that's almost a story in and of itself. And it certainly shows just the level of innovation that Missouri Meerschaum puts into like the way they do corncob pipes. And the legend, it lays out, like you say, it is the manuscript. It is the canvas on which to tell your pipe story, so to speak.
That's right.
So if you've got a Missouri Meerschaum pipe, be sure to smoke it this week. Take a selfie of yourself doing it. Tweet them to us. We'll retweet them out. That's a great way to let the good folks at Missouri Meerschaum know. We appreciate them for sponsoring the show.
Pipe question of the week.
All right, man. We got a pipe question of the week coming in from listener Joe.
Okay, great.
All right, man. Joe says, first, I'd like to thank you for putting together an incredible podcast. I got into pipes almost a year ago and was pleasantly surprised to learn about Country Squire Radio. Your discussions are informative and fun, and everyone in the pipe community seems very supportive and kind, which is my type of group. I do have a question for you two. After learning about the perils of vulcanite stems, I err on the side of paranoia by not smoking them outdoors, particularly in direct sunlight. Because I had read the direct sunlight sun is the one way to expedite the oxidation. So the question is, am I being an overprotective owner here? Any advice on caring for vulcanite stems would be appreciated. Promise to make the pilgrimage one day. Best wishes. Again, that is Joe.
Man, a great question, Joe. And we're so grateful you found us and thankful for you. This is funny. If you're super particular about what your stem looks like, ebonite and vulcanite is probably just not the material for you anyway, because it is going to take on teeth marks. Even if you don't clench your pipe, it's just you're going to bite it that one time where it's going to take on a little scuff or something. Now, a lot of times you can get those scuffs out on a buffing wheel or send it to your favorite pipe repairman, write to us. We've got so many of those that we can recommend to you. You know, ebonite is just, it's going to show some wear. And one of the ways it shows just age is of course, oxidation. Oxidation, if you can think of, if you're, new to the pipe world or unaware, you think of a solid jet black stem that you find on a new pipe. Well, a lot of times ebonite stems, due to, moisture and sunlight, they'll start to, yellow, or even green in color. They'll start to kind of fade to this, almost yellowy brown or green tone on there. And it's the rubber, vulcanite is oxidizing. And so, it doesn't hurt the pipe. The pipe is still pure, perfectly functional, doesn't, change anything about it. It just kind of look kind of nasty. And, for me, that's the look of a pipe that is well used or well loved. But for those that like to take care of their pipe collections where, they want their pipes to look pristine and, really just showroom good looking or whatever, that spit shine, right? vulcanite is more difficult to take care of because it will be affected by sunlight, even I think to some extent indoor light as well. And then also, any kind of moisture. So it's something to think about. Anytime you smoke ebonite stems, vulcanite stems, you're going to start to introduce ways for it to oxidize. They do make the stuff called obsidian oil, which is very helpful. So if you do wind up smoking your ebonite stem and want it to maintain that beautiful black luster, get some obsidian oil. It's a product that you use after you smoke your pipe. You can apply it and then store your pipe immediately afterward. And it'll really help maintain that jet black look. It's really attractive. Other than that, anytime you pull your pipe out of a sock, you're exposing the pipe to elements that are going to let it be oxidized. Are you being overprotective, Joe? I don't know. I mean, if it were me, I'd smoke your pipe. I mean, it's one of those things where, I have friends that have these beautiful pipes with ebonite stems. The pipes stay in their socks in a drawer. And I want to, if I'm going to spend a lot of money on a beautiful pipe that happens to have an ebonite stem, I'm going to have it on a rack where I can see it, appreciate it, remember that I've got it, all those things. And, if that means the stem kind of yellows a little bit, man, I'm kind of okay with that.
That's exactly.
that's just kind of my thing. But, you know, there again, we've got those people that they want those stems to always look pristine. And so, man, if you're comfortable with, you know, leaving it in the pouch, knowing that it's secure, you know, maybe in your closet or something, that's good too. Your mileage may vary. That's the whole key. And so whatever helps you enjoy your pipe most, whether it's knowing that it's going to be in perfect condition anytime you pull it out, or where it's there where you can see it and appreciate the aesthetics of it, I think, you know, you get to pick. But are you being overprotective? I don't know, for me, maybe, but man, find ways you can smoke your pipe, enjoy your pipe. Your pipe is meant to be smoked. It's meant to be enjoyed. Maybe get you some obsidian oil, maybe invest in a small buffing wheel or something where when it does start to oxidize, you can, you know, care for it a little bit. You know, occasionally send it to your favorite pipe restorer that, you know, can help you with that too. Just some thoughts. Good question.
Yeah, and that's right. Your pipe is meant to be enjoyed. You actually, by saying that, you kind of caught me. I was about to go on a bit of a tirade that I'm not going to go on now, because the reality is, it's however you enjoy your pipe is really up to you. It's
a lot of people, you know, we've got friends that, you know, own the, well, not many friends, but, you know, friends that own these luxury sports cars, and, you know, they stay in the garage, right?
Exactly. I mean,
they don't want to pull it out because they know whenever they pull it out, they want to be able to show their friends a perfect specimen. And, you know, some people take a lot of pleasure and joy in that. And that's great. It's
exactly.
You know, again, your mileage may vary. If it's mine, man, I'm gonna be taking that Joker on the road.
Well, and you know, for if you're gonna use your pipe and you're not just collecting for, you know, artistic reasons or for from that kind of appreciation, just remember, I mean, this is something that you are taking, packing up with a flammable substance and putting your mouth on and lighting it on fire. You know what I mean? Like you're like it goes through some stuff just to be able to be used, and so it's never going to be perfect as the day that you purchased it.
Yeah. But
at the same time, you know, as you say, like, you know, if it's really more about kind of a fashion element, you know, you do you, and that is totally fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure.
Absolutely. Well, hey, great question, Zoe. And hey, if anybody else has a pipe question for us, be sure to send those in. show@countrysquireradio.com. Again, that's show@countrysquireradio.com.
Quick fire with the squire.
All right, man. Quick fire question. Jones.
Ow!
That was like hot in the mic right there. Quick fire questions, of course, brought to us by the amazing shirts available to you perhaps at the Country Squire online. Yeah, that'd be great. That'd be great. You know, great way to help support the show. So check those out. Also, these are coming in from Andrew Compropulous Andrews.
Our dear friend, Father Andy.
Father Andy. We love Father Andy. you know, Father Andy is the most gracious. I need to just kind of mention this. You know, you gave big ups to Stephen the Anti-Hurricane before. I got to give big ups to Father Andy, because as much as I butcher his name, and I promise, I wish that it was intentional, but it's not intentional. I'm just that bad at reading. as bad as I butcher the name, and as much as he loves all of our lesbian Uzo innuendo that goes around that, and by loves, I mean absolutely hates. He's the most gracious individual.
He is, man. I love those days when Andy comes in. Of course, you know, if you've listened to the show long enough, you know, Andy is our dear friend, who happens to be a local Orthodox priest here in Jackson, and incredibly kind man. I think he's my spirit animal. But some of my favorite days are those days when he texts me and says, "Hey, you at the shop? I'm ready for some coffee." And I happen to be free, and then he'll come up and we'll just kind of quietly have that first morning cup of coffee. Man, you know, especially when the shop's quiet and it's just me and him kind of, you know, chatting about life or encouraging one another or whatever. Man, he is just, he's a dear friend, and I love him to pieces. And man, he is, he's good people. Yep.
All right, man. Well, this comes from that good people.
Yep.
Gin, regular or infused?
Ooh, I have to go with regular. You know, it's so funny to me. There was this, I feel like we're in the middle of this big thing where it's like, okay, we're going to take this perfect product and monkey with it to see if we can make it interesting enough for you to buy it, you know, separately or whatever, or maybe more often, I don't know. And so people are doing that kind of thing with, you know, whiskey. They're aging it in, you know, funky barrels, or, you know, blending it with stuff. With gin, you know, they're barrel aging it. They're, you know, putting it in, you know, all kinds of, you know, infusing it with, someone gave me some blueberry infused gin. And I was like, this is just wrong. Like, we've kind of crossed a threshold here, you know?
I don't know, and, man. Blueberry infused gin isn't too bad. But yeah, I hear what you're saying.
I don't know. I mean, at some point, and I went through a phase, right, where I tried a lot of these. And, you know, friends of ours, of course, let us sample some, or even were kind enough to gift us bottles, you know, of this stuff, which is, you know, some of which are really good. Really good. But it's just not really something I determined that I could drink every day. None of it was. And so, man, I have to go with regular gin. Just give me a bottle of freaking Boodles. That's what I want, man.
That's good. That's good. Yeah, I'm going to have to be the same. As you mentioned, we were gifted actually a barrel-aged gin a while back. And I was reminded recently, I was at, we've mentioned Cathead, obviously, on the show before. And I was doing a tour before we left Jackson. It was kind of a big,
yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of a last, you know, thing to do in Jackson. We, you know, had a couple of check boxes and that was one of them. And so we went and we, you know, went through their distillery and we saw, you know, all how they make their vodka, but also how they make, their gin. And I was unaware that Cat had actually made gin. But they do. And they have two versions. They have just kind of the pure straight gin. And then they also have a barrel infused. And while my wife was like really into kind of enjoying the barrel fused, I was like, I've tried barrel aged rather gin, and I can't do it. If you got to give me gin, then give me gin straight up.
Yep, I agree.
All right, tea, green or black?
I'm gonna go with green tea. I love black tea, but I like all tea, or most teas anyway. But I don't know. I think the taste of green tea is appealing to me. I really like the occasional green tea with Virginia tobacco for whatever reason. And what's interesting is I think more people would probably go with a black tea for that. I don't know. For me, a good solid green tea. I don't even have a particular brand that I care for. I don't know that much about tea to really appreciate different kinds. But yeah, I'm gonna go with green tea.
Okay. I think I'm probably more of a black tea drinker. That being said, I mean, I also enjoy green tea. I'll take it. Like if I'm in a tea mode and I ask for some tea and, you know, they say, you know, we only have green or we only have black, that's fine.
Yeah.
Like in my mind, I know that there's some vast differences here, but at the same time, like I'm just looking for hot water with a little bit of flavor. And if it's got a bit of caffeine, then that's great.
Yep. Tea, Earl Grey, hot.
Yeah, that's from Gumby.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Then finally, oysters, raw or grilled?
I'm gonna go with raw. Yeah, I like a char grilled oyster, but man, nothing beats a real fresh, you know, just raw oyster, maybe with some horseradish or some cocktail sauce. Man, that is righteous.
Yes, sir. I was in New Orleans a couple weeks back with Briar. Say what?
I said, imagine that.
Oh, yeah. Well, so I was there and I was there with Briar, who, of course, a mutual friend and we've mentioned on the show. And you know, we were there working on a project, doing some coding, and we were taking breaks throughout the time. And of course, I took him to one of my favorite oyster bars in all of New Orleans.
Yeah.
Is Luke. And if you've never been to Luke before, you need to go. They have an amazing happy hour. They make the best French 75 on the planet. And they have, I don't know how they do this, because obviously there's oysters all over the French Quarter, but the oysters they have there are the finest oysters there are. So I strongly encourage everybody to check that out. But yes, raw oysters all the way. I'm not opposed to grilled oysters. I mean, like, I'd rather have grilled than fried, but
yeah,
raw all the way.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree. But I think char-grilled oysters have their place. Yeah.
I'm curious to know what the oyster situation is like in Houston. I haven't had the chance to, like, sample that, but we're a closer proximity in Houston to the Gulf than we were in Jackson. So
man,
theoretically
absolutely.
Speaking,
no, the seafood, you know, in a place like Houston is fantastic. It's you got Galveston right down the street. Houston itself, Houston itself is on, you know, basically the ocean, but the part of the ocean that it's on is used primarily for a port, and so there's not really any, just layperson sea access right there in Houston. But man, you go a few miles down the road to Galveston, you've got just, you know, beautiful beaches and a lot of culture. And I think you'll find ways to really enjoy it over there. Yep.
But there you go. So thank you so much, Father Andy. And hey, if you have got some quickfire questions for us, please send those in. show@countrysquireradio.com. Again, that's show@countrysquireradio.com.
Your thoughts, your comments, listener feedback.
All right, man, we got some great listener feedback in. This first one comes from Derek. What did Derek have to say?
All right, Derek says, just listen to your latest episode, Pike Places. I'm sure someone else has already mentioned it, but in case they haven't, the actress's name is Haley Mills.
Right.
And the remake is of Disney's 1961 original, The Parent Trap, with Brian Keith, Maureen O'Hara, and Haley Mills. And so that's from Derek, of course, mentioning we talked a few weeks ago now about our episode, you know, Pike Places, where we discuss some of our favorite places, or, you know, both real or, you know, kind of idealistic about where to smoke your pipe. And so, man, coming back on that.
So, Derek, thank you for that. We did actually live on the show, and you may have actually sent this before you got to that point in the episode. But yeah, almost immediately the live commentary was coming in like, it's Haley Mills, you know, which is great. Because John David's over here throwing some shade because I'm referencing a children's movie from like, you know, decades ago. But everybody who was tuning in knew exactly what I was talking about. But yes, sir. Thank you for that that correction there. Man, this next one is also about pipe places. This is from Ralph Burns.
Yeah, Ralph says, in relation to pipe smoking places, I'm hoping and waiting for the day when someone, much like Walt Disney, would build a smoking Wonderland estate designed like Disneyland, devoted to pipe and cigar smokers. Can we start this now, Ralph? Is this something we can get going immediately? Let's see. And it needs to be obviously curated by our friend Brian Levine. But anyway, moving on. Can you imagine such a place designed with different zones that fit to a smoker's dream? Much like a sports lounge, wraparound porch furnished with hickory wood rocking chairs, libraries, and of course, a couple of grand fireplaces. This could be the mecca for all premium tobacco enthusiasts. No cigarettes allowed. Patrons can purchase a one-day ticket or a seasonal pass. Is there anyone out there who would like to be one of the first to start the groundbreaking ceremony? And that's from our friend Ralph. So dude, that's great. We need, it's like a pipe smoker's commune kind of thing, you know, yeah.
Yeah.
It get interesting real fast.
I was about to say, we probably don't need that per se, but no, I like it. I actually like the idea of Brian Levine as Walt Disney and this, in this kind of, a theme park as it were. It almost kind of reminds me, especially as he talks about the multiple grand fireplaces. I know, John David, you don't watch Rick and Morty, do you?
I don't. Yeah. How did you guess?
It's just a guess. In that series, and I'm not necessarily recommending it because if it's not your thing, it is definitely not your thing. But if you do enjoy it, that's awesome. In that series, there's a concept of the multiverse where like all of these Earths are simultaneously existing and that sort of deal. And the two characters, the primary character, Rick and Morty, are a grandfather and grandson pair, and they go off on these wacky adventures. Well, on one such adventure, the father of Morty, the son-in-law of Rick, ends up kind of, I guess, accidentally tagging along with them. So they travel the multiverse to send him to a daycare for Jerry. That's the guy's name. And so all of the other Rick and Mortys from all the other universes will take their Jerrys here.
Okay.
Whenever he accidentally tags along, and the entire setup is based off of like this one guy. So yeah. He walks in and there's like somebody in like this like Mickey Mouse style costume, but it's like of his wife. And then there's also like a whole bunch of televisions that all need the AV fixed, you know, like, and so they're all like, all these Jerrys are kind of gathering around like that. So I kind of am visualizing, instead of like, you know, this one big grand fireplace, but multiple fireplaces around for multiple pipe smokers to just kind of, you know, lean on and contemplate as we puff away on our pipes and go, interesting. Yes.
Yeah. As long as there's no hot tub.
No, man. Yeah, that's probably for the best. Interesting suggestion, Ralph. Love to see some of the, let's see the business model for that. You know, maybe, I don't know. Who knows? Who knows what could happen? Thank y'all so much for that feedback. And thank you so much again for tuning in. Of course, you can tune in to every single episode over at countrysquireradio.com. We've got the full episodes leading up to, or at least beginning from our 100th episode on. Those first 100 episodes are available to patrons at patreon.com/countrysquireradio. Help support the show and be part of something grand. Mm-hmm. Think of this as your own, you know, theme park of the mind for you to enjoy your pipe.
Country Squire Brian Radio, Levine. A theme park for the mind.
I like it. Yeah. It's tobacco blends everywhere for you to choose from. And Brian Levine is twirling around, skipping and jumping down Main Street. And here we are, Bo and John David, like Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck. It's it's great.
Yeah, no, that's right.
Maybe. Well,
or maybe a couple of the most embarrassing of the, you know, dwarves. I don't know.
That's probably more it. But man, this was a great episode. Great, of course, to get chance to get to know John David through a collection of some of his pipes. And let us know what you think. Is this a series that you want to see us revisit? Is this something you even care about? Did you find it to be a waste of time? let us know what you enjoyed and didn't enjoy, because we want to make sure as we kind of dive back into, you know, almost kind of reinvigorate some old series, we want to make sure that we didn't kill them for a wrong reason or kill him for a right reason, even, like, you know, if it is something that that you want to hear from us. So yeah, just give us your thoughts. Did you enjoy it? Yes, no, maybe so. Let us know.
Excellent.
All right, man. Of course, you can keep up with us throughout the week. You can follow us on the Twitters.
I'm at John David Cole, or you can get us at the shop at @_CountrySquire.
And of course, the show's handle is at Squire Radio, but all that and more can be found at CountrySquireRadio.com. Well, John David, excellent job, sir.
Yeah, man, I had fun. It's always good talking about some of my most, you know, cherished pieces or interesting pieces, and need to do it more often. Probably ought to, you know, pull those out more often. But man, I'm glad I got to bring a couple along for the ride today.
Absolutely, man. Well, hey, let's go have a day.
See you, brother.
Been listening to Country Squire Radio, a member of the Podastery Network. For more information on this and other shows, please visit podastery.com. Thank you.